So when Acts 28 verse 1 to 10, when we were safe on land, we noted that the island was called Malta. It was raining and very cold, but the people who lived there were very good to us. They made us a fire and welcomed all of us. Paul gathered a pile of sticks for the fire. He was putting them on the fire.
When a poisonous snake came out because of the heat and bit him on the hand, the people living on the island saw the snake hanging out from Paul's hand. They said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. He did not die in the sea, but justice does not want him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire. He was not hurt. The people thought that Paul would swell up or fall down dead. The people waited and watched him for a long time, but nothing bad happened to him. So they changed their minds about Paul. Now they said, "He is a god." There were some fields around there owned by a very important man on the island. His name was Publius. He welcomed us into the home and was very good for us. We stayed in his house for 3 days. Publius' father was very sick with a fever and
dysentery.
But Paul went to him and prayed. Then he put his hand on the man and healed him. After this, all the other sick people on the island came to Paul and healed him. 2. The people on the island gave us many honors. We stayed there 3 months. When we were ready to leave, they gave us the things we needed.
Brilliant. Thank you, Matt. Great. Should we pray? Let's pray. Yeah, Father God, we pray you'll just touch our hearts now as we've read your word, and you'll touch the children as they come under your word as well. Speak to us, Lord. We believe that you can speak to us as a collective, but also individually. So speak to us, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we've got 2 minutes for the kids to go out, or if you need to go to the toilet, or speak to someone, then feel free, and I'll come up in 2 minutes. Thank you. Thank you. I love fires, whether it's a log burner in a house or outside down the beach or camping. I just find it very relaxing. Anyone the same? Anyone the same? I find it very relaxing. I like the smell. So some people don't like the smell on the clothes. I don't really mind that. And obviously the heat as well. I just find it fascinating as well. Just really enjoy it. And I'm pretty sure most, if not all of us, have collected sticks for a fire in our time, whether small or large. But we've all lived to tell the tale. Making fires in Wales and in the UK. There's not that many wildlife, maybe some slugs from wet logs or some things, but it's not a very significant thing to go and get some sticks for a fire. But in some countries, you need to be careful when making a fire. We watch a few wildlife programs and survival programs, and they say you need to be careful when lifting logs or collecting sticks. And in the book of Acts, you have 28 chapters in the book of Acts, and so the last chapter, you think this is the most important one, or the beginning and the end, the most important one of chapter 28. But in chapter 28, we have this seemingly random story of Paul collecting sticks for a fire, and then being bitten by a snake just after having a shipwreck. And so this is not a highlight time. This is not like a mountaintop time. This is a really difficult time for Paul. And seemingly maybe just a random story, but we'll see at the end the amazing effect that this incident has had even 2,000 years later. And Paul was near the end of his life at this time. Paul, if you don't know much about Paul, he was a devout Jewish scholar, religious leader, training to be one of the highest in his sect. But he went around imprisoning and killing Christians because he thought these were Jews who were actually blasphemers and Jesus was a false prophet. Yet he had an amazing experience with Jesus, and then he realized that Jesus was the Messiah. So then he went around, he did a total 180. He then went around from killing Christians or imprisoning Christians to being a Christian and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to wherever he went. And he was used in amazing ways. He was used to start churches. He led many people to faith. He would have baptized many people. He would have seen many people being healed through praying for them. He would have seen many demons being cast out through deliverance. He would have been used powerfully by God in amazing ways. And yet Paul was also stoned many times. He was beaten up many times. He was imprisoned many times. He was hated. He was rejected. And he was nearly killed on many occasions for what he was doing because of Jesus Christ. And in Acts 23, so a few chapters earlier and a few months and years earlier in this story, a few months before this, in Acts 23, Paul had just been beaten up again in front of some religious guys and religious leaders and in the synagogues. But in 23, he'd just been beaten up and he explained himself. But in verse 11 of chapter 23, he said, "The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify about me in Rome.'" So Paul knew, this was God speaking to Paul, Paul knew it was God's will for him to go to Rome. He didn't know how or when, but he knew, like he believed that this was God and God spoke to him. And no one else heard God tell Paul, "You were going to go to Rome." It wasn't written in a scripture or prophecy, yet Paul was convinced through his relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that God had spoken to him and said he was going to Rome. And when we feel God speak to us, it can be sometimes hard to discern, isn't it? Is this God speaking to me? Is this his voice? Is this what he wants? And then how we can say that or communicate that can either then maybe win people or put people off, or we're uncertain what to do with that. And so we do need to be careful when we use our language about that. But we believe, we're a church that believe that God can speak to us. Amen? And that he can speak to us personally, and that the word of God, even written thousands of years ago, can speak to us personally, and also the Holy Spirit can speak to us personally each day. But sadly, that's sometimes used to maybe manipulate others and say, oh, God told me this, and so you have to do this. And it has been used. I've shared this before, but with Becky, before me and Becky got together, five different guys at different times went up to Becky and said, God has told me that you're going to be my wife. But Becky said to her, no, I'm waiting for a real man. No, but either those guys were true and it was God's will for Becky to have five husbands, or Becky then should say, all right, then, well, if God's told you, then I need to submit to that and do that. All these guys were emotionally, they got their emotions mixed up with the Holy Spirit and their desires, and they used a chat-up line that many people have, and it didn't work. And so we do need to be careful of that, of how the language we use, but we do believe that God speaks to us. And if you feel that God speaks to you, there's some encouragements that I would say to just go about. If you feel God is specifically asking you to something, and bear in mind, sometimes you could be in a bus stop and God could speak to you and say, go and tell that person that God, that Jesus loves them. You don't need to do that, because you don't need to go through this three-point things. Go and do it. There's some things that we can say yes to, amen, straight away, can't we? We can say yes to and do it. But if it's something big or you're discerning, these are just some things that I would find helpful. If you feel God is speaking to you, first of all, is it in line with Scripture? Sadly, I've heard stories about people who said, God has told me to divorce my wife and marry this woman. Like, that's clearly not in Scripture, is it? And so that's clearly not the Lord. So is it in line with Scripture? Is what God is asking you or telling you, is it in line with his word? If you're not sure, ask someone else. And then also, like, treasure in your heart. Sometimes we can say it too many times to too many people rather than just treasure in our hearts. Like, that's what Mary did, didn't she? She treasured it in her heart. She kind of mulled it over and let it melt in her heart. And when she saw these things, it came out of her heart and remembered. Well, then also, if you're not sure, just share it with one or two other people to just pray. And I sometimes, it's good to share it with people maybe more mature than you or more faith, but also share it with someone who's more mature and more faith who might not theologically see eye to eye with you in that sense. Because if I just shared something with two people who really liked me and were just going to say yes to everything I said, then they're going to say yes, aren't they? Where if I shared with someone, like, I know this person loves the Lord, I know their heart is for him and for me, but they wouldn't be sure about this, then I would personally share it with that person, say, can you pray for me? Can you wait on the Lord for me with that? So these are some things that I would do personally, and I find helpful when I believe the Lord is speaking to me. But Paul, God had spoken to Paul, And Paul believed that God had told him that he will go to Rome. So God, all he knew was he's in Jerusalem at that time. He was banged up. He'd just been beaten up. He was in prison again. But God said to Paul, you will go to Rome. So Paul thought, this is God's will. I'm not going to die right now because I am going to go to Rome. And if I was Paul, I'd be thinking, oh, thank you, Lord. That's great. I've never been to Rome before. I've heard it's hot. I absolutely love lasagna. That's my favorite meal, so I'd be very happy with that. I've heard it's a beautiful place. Can't wait. Like, how am I going to get there? Maybe fly in first class? Or I'd love to take a cruise to Rome. That would be lovely. Or maybe drive through the Alps. That would be lovely, wouldn't it? If I was Paul, I'd be thinking that. But Paul ended up going to Rome because he was let out of a jail in Jerusalem where 40 men had vowed and fasted. This is the hatred they had for him. As soon as we get a chance, we're going to kill Paul. 40 men. waiting for him, waiting for the guards to make a mistake, waiting for him to have an opportunity. 40 men were waiting to kill Paul. And so Paul, as a Roman citizen, pleaded his case, and now he was going to get sent to Rome, to Caesar, to trial his case. And so Paul was going to Rome, not on a cruise or an aeroplane. He was going on a prison ship full of prisoners, like the worst kind of prisoners, going to Rome to Caesar. It was, think of like a maximum security prisoner. This was Paul going on a ship as a prisoner around all these dangerous people with guards who were not respected or liked, and this was their job. This is how they get paid. And so that is how Paul was going to Rome. And you can read the story in Acts 27. But basically, the boat gets shipwrecked. They all nearly die. But Paul is used by God with holy wisdom and discernment, so that not only Paul, but all the guards and all the prisoners are saved. So God told Paul that he's going to Rome, so he had that confidence in it. But even Paul was used to save all these other people in this situation. And they get shipwrecked on an island. And we have this in Acts 28. So the verse is on the screen, but if you have your Bibles and you want to flick through, then that's great. But the verse is on the screen in Acts 28, the ones that Kendrick read earlier. And 28 verse 1, it says this: "Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us." Anyone here been to Malta? It was the last place me and Becky went to before. You were pregnant with Yayan at the time, was it? So it was April, a long time ago. It was lovely, lovely island. It was a bit windy though. So I didn't take a jumper. I ended up buying a jumper, which I still might have. We called it the Maltese jumper. If I, remind me next time, I'll wear it next time again, guys. So yeah, that was we went there, lovely island. They say it's the size of the Gower, so not a massive place, but an island. This is a real place, and they were in the island of Malta. And this shows the favor of God with Paul. Paul said to Paul that he's going to Rome. So even in the shipwreck, he knew he wasn't going to die. He knew he wasn't going to die in Jerusalem, even though 40 people were after him. Even in the shipwreck, he knew he wasn't going to die because he wasn't in Rome. And yet he was used to save all the others. And even then, when they arrived on the island, you'd think these people in Malta, you've got a ship full of prisoners and guards. They quite have easily could have tried to kill them all, couldn't they? And attacked them. And yet they arrived and the people were kind to them. And this was God's favor. Even though life was difficult, even though this is a difficult situation, this was God's favor. And if you're in a difficult situation and it's hard, but you're following Jesus, you're looking to please him, you want to be in his will, it can be hard. It can be really difficult, but we can know the goodness of God in that. We can know the favor of God in that. We can know the protection of God in that. Even though life is difficult, if our main aim is to know Jesus and to make disciples, then God sees our heart with that. And it says this: as Paul gathered an armful of sticks, as Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people on the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, "A murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live." So these local people, whether they were superstitious or spiritual, or yin-yang, karma, what you reap, what you sow, or this is going to happen to you now, their understanding of God or God's will is they believe that, okay, these guys are all prisoners. They've all survived this ship. So it must be God's will for them to survive the ship. And yet this one must be the worst of the worst, because he's just survived the ship, and now he's been bitten by a poisonous snake. So this guy must have been a terrible murderer. God's got him. The sea didn't get him, but God has got him. So fate, he's a really bad, the snake is used to get Paul. And we've been watching a lot of the World Cup recently. I was thinking, if Paul was a footballer from South America or Argentina right now, after he bit by the snake, he would have rolled on the floor about 10 times. He'd been shouting for the ref. He would ask for a red card. He'd been pointing for the VAR, asked for a stretcher, made a massive scene out of it. That's what he would have done, wouldn't he? And to be fair, if most of us were bit by a snake, that's what we would have done, wouldn't he? And yet, this is what Paul did. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. He just kind of got bit by, he would carry on, he was getting some sticks, got bit by a snake, oh no, get off, threw into the fire, and then carried on getting some more sticks. And then it says this, and the people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. So they went from thinking it was God's will to kill this guy to now thinking, well, he must be a god. He's been protected, and so he must be a god. And so you can tell their theology or their belief system is all over the place right now. They believe in a god or gods, but they don't understand it. These people on this island don't understand it. And in Mark, so he survives a snake bite by a poisonous snake. And in Mark 16, Jesus said these words. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And they will drink deadly poison, and it will not harm them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Like, if I told you at the start of that story, yeah, the other day I went down to Lisvain, and I saw a snake. It was me and Seb, wasn't it, Seb? You can testify that was a real snake? He can, yeah. So if you can, if I said to you, oh yeah, me and Seb were down seeing it, and if Seb then saw me run down, not just take a photo, but pick up the snake and then go like this and then drip the venom into my mouth, Seb would rightfully start walking away and think, right, I need to go to a different church. Like, this is not a verse to be for Christians to be snake charmers or anything like that, or to just go around drinking poison. Our goal as Christians is to make disciples. That's what we're called to do, is to go and make disciples. And when we go and make disciples, this verse is telling us that God can protect us from snakes, even if we pick them up, like Paul. Paul didn't intentionally pick up a snake and think, oh, I'm just going to prove this right. He picked up some sticks. A snake bit him, but it had no effect on him. Or if someone tries to poison you, God can protect us from that. It can have no effect on you. Just like the miracle of being used to also be used to heal people, to speak in tongues, to cast out demons, and to use those gifts, which are also for today. God can also protect us from harm, from evil, from physical death as well. And this is not an initiation. This Mark 16 is not something all Christians need to find a snake to prove if you're a real Christian or not. This is not an initiation, but this is showing that this can happen. And it says this, and then it says in verse 7, and so this happened, and they said, near the shore where we landed was the estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the land. And he welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. And as it happened, Publius' father was ill with fear and dysentery. And so remember, guys, Paul was still a prisoner. Even when he was collecting sticks, He was probably then put back on handcuffs or chains. He was a prisoner. And then this guy is the president or the prime minister of Malta. And his father's not well. So this is possibly the most important man on the island. Paul couldn't just go up and have a coffee with this guy. Like, he was a prisoner. And the guards would have still maybe had these guys in temporary jails or kept them under guard, under chains. But even if that was the case, a lot of the local people who knew this guy saw what happened to Paul. They saw as he collected the sticks, he saw the snake bite them, and he saw that they were still alive. So this is a miracle. There's something about this guy, whether there's a God or not, but there's something about this guy. So I would say, this is just from me reading into it, I would say then the local people would have told Publius about Paul and the snake, that they would have told him about this. He couldn't just walk up to him and tell him. But the local people saw the favor of God, saw something incredible, and they told then Publius about it. So much so that they gave favor then to these guys, and they let them live with on their land for three days. And so maybe Paul then got to know about the situation. Paul then maybe got to know about his father. And you can imagine Paul thinking, like, how can I share the gospel? How can I pray for someone? How can I show Jesus in this? And maybe when the local people told Publius about Paul, about the snake, maybe he spoke to the guard and said, tell me about this guy. Like, what about him? And they maybe said, well, actually, he was used in an amazing way for us all to be saved. Like, if it wasn't for him, then probably most of us would have died. And so he's hearing these things about everything that has happened. And so because of these sticks and snakes and the favor of God with this, it says, so then Paul went in, so through this time, through and seeing it, and that time of him maybe thinking about this opportunity, Paul then was able to go in and pray for his dad. And laying his hands on him, he healed him. And then it says, verse 9, then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. Isn't that amazing? That sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? This sounds a lot like Jesus, when all Israel, all Jerusalem, all these things went to them. And so the same power that conquered the grave is in now in Paul, but also in us. And so then all the sick people on the island were healed. And verse 10 says, as a result, we were showered with honors. And when the time came to sail, and where were they sailing to? To Rome. When the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. Like, that's a crazy ending. Like, this is a crazy, amazing story, which we think, oh, it's just a bit of a random one in Acts 28. But without the stick, without the fire, without the sticks, and without the snake, none of this might have happened. Or it might have happened in a totally different way. But with this snake, actually, God used something terrible, like a life-threatening time. He was nearly killed. And remember, the enemy is involved in this as well. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wanted to steal, kill, and destroy him in Jerusalem with the shipwreck. Often with the stories of Jesus, it's not just a natural storm, but a supernatural storm. And then you have the snake, a poisonous snake. So let's say everything worldly and spiritually is against Paul to try and kill him. And yet God is protecting him. But he has a near-death experience. But in that near-death experience, it ends up bringing healing to the whole island. And then provision to get Paul and all of them to Rome. Think of the favor of that. What do they need to get to Rome? They need a boat. Like, so much favor that these people would give them a boat. Like they did that because of Paul. And they did that because of the Spirit of God in Paul. That they would end up giving these prisoners and these guards a boat, all the food they needed, all the provision they needed to get back to Rome. Because what did God say? You will go to Rome. And God made it happen. And we know, we don't read that these people came to faith. We don't read these people were baptized or that churches were started. But we know from Paul, and hopefully from us, we know that any opportunity he had, he would have shared the gospel of Jesus, wouldn't he? Amen? Like he would have said, oh, look, you're healed. This is nothing about me. I'm not a God, but I know the one who is. Oh, he's praying in Jesus' name. That's the name because you're healed. He is the one true God. He would have shared this and shared this and shared this and shared this and continually shared this, shared about Jesus, the gospel, and all of the glory to God. And just think of how many people God blessed through Paul. Think of all the people's lives that were physically saved through Paul in just this short story. Think of all the people God got to tell about his son Jesus through Paul and through a simple story of some sticks and a snake. And like I said, it doesn't say the whole island were baptized. It doesn't say all the prisoners started a gospel choir. It doesn't say the sailors ended up planting churches everywhere they went. And that would have been Paul's heart because it's God's heart. And Paul never went back to Malta. He was only there for 3 months. Not long after that, he would have died. But he did get to Rome because God told him he was going to get to Rome. And so from that random story, from those 3 months in Malta, from Paul being the only Christian on that ship that we read of, and that only one sharing the gospel, the only one praying for people, the effect that had, maybe not in Paul's eyes, maybe not in his moment, we know he would have prayed for them, he would have asked God to move for them, but he wouldn't have known what happened, would he? He wouldn't have known the fruits of his labor from that. And yet, 2,000 years on, from that random story with sticks and a snake, 3 months in Malta, yes, there's a lot of cultural and religious aspects today in Malta, but for 2,000 years on, from an unplanned shipwreck, a snake bite and a 3 month stay, look at the influence that Paul had on Malta. This is today. So if you Google Paul on Google Maps, there's 7 significant places 2,000 years on that is mentioned in Paul. Isn't that mad? 2,000 years on, this small island, for 2,000 years, he is landmarked. He has marked the land in 7 different places. And so you've got a cultural landscapes. His name remains permanently etched onto Malta's physical geography on the map. And so you've got St. Paul's Bay, St. Paul's Cathedral, St. Paul Islands. And so this is literally on the map right now, 2,000 years on. You also have deeply rooted religious identity. His 60 AD shipwreck led to the complete Christianization of Malta, resulting in today's over 90% Christian population and a vast landscape of churches. That's incredible, isn't it? That is incredible. From the one guy going there, and like I said, I've been to Malta. Yeah, there's some religious aspects now and traditional things that have kicked in, sadly, but this is... They would say this is a Christian island. This is a Christian island with churches, and that's just amazing. And also, even a national holiday. We all love national holidays, don't we? The bank holiday. If England won the World Cup and I got a bank holiday, I'd be happy. But this is an event every February the 10th as a public holiday, which is called the Feast of St. Paul's Shipwreck. Like, this is a public holiday from that event that happened, that is happening every year because of that event. Isn't that amazing? Like, just from some sticks and a snake in a story which we think, it's just a random one. And we're going to sing the final song to close, His Glory and My Good. And like, I'm sure if you ask Paul, was this one of his highlights in his life? Like, did he enjoy? Was it a great time? This would have been a difficult time. Like being wanting to be killed in Jerusalem by 40 people, then being on a boat full of criminals, to then being shipwrecked, to nearly dying, to then going on an island, even though they were very friendly, it was said it was cold and wet for 3 months, still being a prisoner. And yet, in all of that, to then being bitten by a poisonous snake. And yet, in all of that, he looked to serve Jesus. He looked to share Jesus. He looked for every opportunity to pray or to be used by God or to show kindness. And if you're in a difficult place, in a hard place, which all of us will be in at different times in our lives, our encouragement is to keep seeking God, to keep, even in that time, to use us, say, God, I'm in this difficult time, I'm in this hard time, this, I don't want to be here, this sucks, but I want your glory. I want your name to be honored in this situation. I want to be used by you. Lord, use me in this situation. I don't want this situation, but use me. I'm available. Use me for your glory. And let me see my good in this. So the band are going to come up and we're going to sing this final song. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this story. We thank you that even though we don't believe it sometimes, and even though we find it hard, and even though we don't fully know what it means, Lord, we can see from your verse, all things come together for the glory of your good, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for people here right now who are in a really difficult time. Lord, may they even have even more of a passion right now to serve you and to share your truth and to make disciples. Lord Jesus, if people here who don't know you, like almost the people on the island, they maybe have different ideas of God or what that means. Pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll speak to them, that they will open your hearts to you and they will give their lives to you. And Lord, for us as well, Lord, in different circumstances, whether good or bad, Lord, help us, protect us, Lord. We probably don't realize how much you do protect us. And we thank you for protecting us against the evil one. But use us, Lord. Use anything that's significant or seemingly insignificant. Use every day for us to be used for your glory and for your good, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen.